Europe has long been the leader in renewable wind power, but new research suggests that the U.S. is about to start closing that gap, starting with a major project off the coast of Massachusetts. Bloomberg's Chris Martin joins me from New York, and Tom Harries of Bloomberg New Energy Finance joins us from London. Thank you both for making some time. I'm going to start with you, Chris, because it's very interesting to see all of the incentives that are now being offered in the U.S. to woo the public over to offshore wind. I guess my question is, why are they even needed?
Well, they're trying to create a whole new industry off the coast of the U.S., and they're going to be taking space from fishermen and from shipping lanes and disrupting views for people who live there. So they have to come up with ways to attract them. One is paying fishermen directly for lost catches. Another is moving further off the coast so that coastal communities don't have to look at them.
I mean, this idea of people being kind of offended because wind turbines spoil their view, is that particular to North America, Tom, or have other parts of the world had to deal with these sorts of issues?
No, it stemmed from the other parts of the world as well. So if you take a look at any established offshore wind market in Europe, they've really started to push turbines further from shore. I mean, the first thing by doing that is you can't see them from shore, so you get more local acceptance. But actually, there are advantages to doing that for the developer. You get stronger wind speeds typically further from shore. So it can be a bit of a win-win situation. But essentially, if you look at what they do in Europe, it's the early stakeholder engagement that matters. If you're saying to somebody, we'd like to build an offshore wind farm, do you have any concerns of your own? For example, are there particular shipping routes or shipping lanes you like to take on the way to catching your fish? Then how about we keep a spare lane through the wind project so you can still use that route? Or do you have particular areas of fishing which we should avoid? And if you include those in the design, then you're more likely to get acceptance from the local stakeholders. So early stakeholder engagement is key.
And I gather that the U.S. is quite far behind on this front. But I know, Tom, that your group has done some research on how much that gap is expected to narrow in the next decade. It's pretty remarkable. And I gather there's also going to be a lot of investment opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the U.S. is essentially starting from zero. It has one small demonstration offshore wind farm at the moment, but essentially we expect it to be the fourth largest market by 2030. And that's a huge change from today. And that's all driven by lots of states along the East Coast really looking at the value of offshore wind power. And as expecting it to be fourth place, that's around 11,500 megawatts. And really we think that we'll need an investment of around $30 to $40 billion by 2030.
Yeah, those are some pretty big numbers, Chris. Obviously, this is moving forward very quickly in the United States. What are you watching next?
That's right. New York is about to announce a number of awards to developers for about 800 megawatts off the coast. And they're planning another auction for even more land in what's called the New York Bight between the coast of Long Island and New Jersey. And that's facing stiff competition.
All right, so we'll be watching for that as well. Chris Martin, Tom Harries, thank you both very much. That's what we're watching this week in Commodities in Toronto. I'm Danielle Bokov.